If you spend any time in a gift shop or general store on a rural Arizona road trip, you've probably seen a postcard or photo or specialty mug with the image of something called a jackalope on it. The jackalope has a jackrabbit face and head, but usually has horns or antlers as well. Most importantly, the jackalope is not real, having been made up by a couple of mischievous people nearly a century ago. But in his new book, On the Trail of the Jackalope, How a Legend Captured the World's Imagination and Helped Us Cure Cancer, Michael Branch tells the story of how the fake jackalope led to scientists taking an interest in real horned rabbits, whose horns came about because of a form of carcinoma. And Branch is with me. So, Michael, let's start with how the concept of the jackalope was created and then how it became so popular.
The origin story for the jackalope has it that two teenage boys outside a small rural town in Wyoming invented the jackalope in the 1930s when they were taking a correspondence taxidermy course through the mail, and they decided they would try this wacky thing. And a guy who owned a bar in their town bought that first jackalope and hung it up. And that was what motivated me in the book, is how did we get from these two kids in rural Depression era Wyoming to the jackalope being iconic not only all over the West, but actually now all over the country and to some degree the world as well.
So I grew up in Phoenix, and we'd take some trips and we'd see the gift shops, and you'd kind of look at it and think, what is that? And it takes you a while till you're older to realize maybe this is a joke that someone's been playing on us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is what's so fun about it, is in the first stage, you sort of look at it and think, well, you know, maybe that thing could be real. And then later, as you say, Steve, you sort of get hip to the fact that, you know, this is a hoax. And yet once you move through that, you don't stop loving the jackalope. There's something about that hybridity, that cuteness, the fact that it exists as a kind of joke that people love and that it has spawned this giant, you know, spinoff industry of kitsch. I just really was taken with the fact that everybody seems to love this critter, which both does and doesn't exist.
Let's talk about some of these rabbits that actually grow horns. How common is it? And how was it discovered that it was involved with the virus?
Well, you know, it turns out that naturalists throughout Europe have been interested in these quote unquote horned rabbits for hundreds of years. And they, in fact, used to taxonomize them as Lepus cornutus. They thought it was a species all its own, which it isn't. The rabbit is, like all mammals, can be stricken with papillomavirus, and that virus can cause these weird keratinous growths, which can sometimes become cancerous. And in the book, I tell the story of the virologist who actually was the guy who figured out what had caused the 1918 pandemic. He started studying horned rabbits in the early 1930s and was able to demonstrate the first time ever demonstrate that a virus could cause cancer in a mammal. And, you know, that sounds a little nerdy, but it's super important because that's what leads, if you connect enough dots, to the fact that we were able to develop the HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, which is the safest, most effective anti-cancer vaccine ever created. And it would not exist without horned rabbits.
What else do we need to know about that particular scientist? Because he's pretty interesting himself. He spoke to his daughter, right?
Managed to find two of his surviving children, both of whom are in their mid-80s now, and they shared with me a lot of unpublished correspondence and manuscripts and photographs, and that, along with my research in public archives, I was able to put the story together of how this person not only was the first to be interested in the study of horned rabbits here in the States, but also was able to go against what just about every scientist believed at that time, which was that a virus cannot cause cancer. We now know that about 10% of cancer deaths globally are caused by viruses. And so I just became fascinated with the fact that this guy sort of toiling alone in his laboratory had discovered something that ultimately would save millions of lives.
I want to think of him in his lab with one of those jackalope postcards, just sort of looking at it every once in a while as he's making progress on this really important step.
Yeah, you know, I love that observation because, you know, this is one of the great mysteries. You know, what, if anything, is the relationship between actual quote-unquote horned rabbits in nature and the jackalope as a sort of joke? And we don't know for sure. I have been able to document lots of occasions where people had discovered horned rabbits and had documented them well before the jackalope hoax mount was created by those boys in Wyoming in the 30s. But we still don't know for sure what the relationship between the horned rabbit in nature and the horned rabbit of myth really is. We can't be sure.
I love the fact that on your website, you were listed as writer, humorist, and desert rat. And I wonder how much did that sense of humor come into play as you were approaching this? I mean, obviously, as we said, there's so much serious stuff in the book and really important science in it. But how much did the way you look at the world help you take a crack at this story?
That's really right on. I mean, I'm a humor writer, and I really believe in trying to craft books that are entertaining. So I really believe in, you know, fun and humor as a way into stories, both serious and otherwise. So, yeah, the fact that I've done so much humor writing attracted me, of course, to the jackalope, which is inherently funny, and the folklore around it is just hilarious.
I'd love to hear some of those examples. That would be great. I think our listeners would get a kick out of that.
Okay. How about this? Jackalopes are so rare because they only mate during lightning storms. So we all agree about that. So they get up on their hind legs and sort of cavort erotically, but only once the lightning begins. Jackalopes can only be attracted with whiskey. So you set out a bowl of whiskey at night, and that's your opportunity. The jackalope is unique because it has a wonderful voice, and it will sing along with you. If you're a cowboy or a camper around the campfire, the jackalope will sing with you. But there are all sorts of, you know, terrible falsehoods out there, like when the jackalope harmonizes with you, that it sings the bass part, which is patently false. It always, always sings the treble part. So, you know, there's this sort of whole world of folklore that's built around this animal. And as a writer and storyteller, that fascinates me because, okay, you start with the physical artifact of the jackalope mount. But, you know, that is not enough to disseminate the jackalope and make it iconic. It has to be carried forward with stories. So anybody who can make up a story about a jackalope is part of this folk process. And everywhere I go, people will sit down with a straight face and tell me their jackalope sighting stories. And I sit there with a straight face and listen, and we have a great time.
All right, well, let me close with this. I want to read the last paragraph of the book. I am confident that the future of the horned rabbit is bright. It is our own curiosity and whimsy that brought the jackalope to life. It's only a failure of our collective imagination can bring about its death. In the enigmatic realm of the jackalope, the only possible cause for extinction is our failure to tell a story. Why is that final paragraph such a perfect ending for this book?
Ultimately, I really want readers to have fun and enjoy the book and understand that this really isn't about a taxidermy mount or about a postcard. It's about the human need to engage our imaginations. And I sort of joke and I say, you know, the two coolest things to be are real or imaginary. And the jackalope has somehow found a way to be both.
That is Michael Branch. His new book is called On the Trail of the Jackalope, How a Legend Captured the World's Imagination and Helped Us Cure Cancer. Michael, great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Steve, it's been such a pleasure. Thanks for having me with you.